Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are truly good, Lord, that you know us, Lord. That we are your children, Lord, that we pray that more and more people in this community, through the different churches who teach from your word, Lord, would be sharing the good news and more people would be coming to faith in you. Lord, we pray for this coming Sunday, the 23rd. Lord, as it's a time where we can invite our friends and neighbors, and we've got a lot of people that may feel comfortable coming to church on a Christmas Sunday, Lord. So we just ask for your blessing upon that. During this time, Lord, we ask for blessing upon our families here. Lord, we ask that you would be with us. And when we're in challenging situations, Lord, we ask for your blessing. Father, we thank you for the gift of family. We thank you for the gift of our church family. And Lord, we ask that you would bless us so that we would be a great blessing to many. Lord, we ask that you would work in our lives that more and more things we would be willing to give up and hand over to you, Lord. We would be willing to trust you and not ourselves. Father, thank you that you are trustworthy, that you stand firm even when everything else is, the wind is messing with and the challenges are before us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. And Father, we just pray right now a special prayer for those families in Connecticut, Lord, that are suffering greatly. Father, for many of those children, presents were already bought. They're still under the tree. Father, there is so much loss that is taking place. And there are so many questions being asked. There's so much anger and bitterness, confusion. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to through your people right now in that area and around the world, Lord, as so many are asking hard questions and struggling to make sense of evil. Lord, we pray that your goodness would be seen, that your holiness would be seen. Lord, we pray for the parents and the grandparents and the brothers and the sisters of those who have been taken away, who've been killed, Lord. We ask for your blessing upon them. We ask for the churches in the area to minister well, to love deeply. Lord, pray that the truth of your word would be seen clearly. That evil would be called evil and good would be called good. Lord, that this lie that we live with, that everything is relative and there is no right or wrong and there is no good or evil, Lord, that would be, we would be reminded that that is not true. And we would be turning to you during this time, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a seat. So it's been a challenging week, hasn't it? And, you know, how do you preach a message and how do you talk about things without dealing with what everyone's dealing with? And 26 people killed, 20 of them children. 6 and 7 year olds only of the kids. 12 girls, 8 boys, 6 teachers and staff. You know, we live in a broken world, don't we? We live in a broken world, and there is good and there is evil. And one of the things I shared yesterday at the men's breakfast that I just think that's so important is we as a church, as we share, as we love people who are asking questions, one of the things I want to kind of protect us from doing is saying something that's, number one, biblically incorrect, and also offensive and hurtful, which is, if people are asking you questions about what's going on, what's taking place, how can this happen, the answer is not, well, I guess this is just God's will. This is the result of sin. This is the result of evil in our world, that when people make choices that go against the will of God, these are the consequences of going against the will of God. This is an extreme. But this is not God's will that this should happen. Can God bless and redeem and somehow find blessing in the midst of sorrow? Absolutely. We have a redeeming God. But when people act out against the will of God and use their free will to choose to say, I will not follow God, there are consequences. And guys, we're in the series of God, Where God Meets Me. A look at the Beatitudes. And as we're looking at an appropriate place to be for this week, Where God Meets Me. We've got a lot of people coming to God with all kinds of emotion, all kinds of pain, all kinds of anger. And a lot of people who are coming to Him, it's for the first time or the first time in a while. We need to be praying. We need to be encouraging. And, you know, because we live in this broken world, one of the things that's a challenge for us is, how do we deal with the junk in our lives? Because our evil, the junk in our lives, might not be so extreme as to what we're experiencing and seeing over there right now, but we've got junk in our lives too, guys. We've got stuff in our lives that needs to be dealt with. Because when I sin, not only does my sin affect me, it affects those, most of all, closest to me. My immediate family, my extended family, my church family, my community, my kids' school, it affects the people around us. So why is it so hard to get rid of all the junk in our lives? Why, if we have a God who loves us and knows us, why is it so hard to deal with all this stuff? One of the things is, a lot of us have stuff that's old that we've been dealing with for a long time, and it's hard to trust Him. It's hard to trust Him with the junk. Another thing is we confuse our identity with our weakness. We think of what we do that's wrong, and we take on that as our identity, and we start feeling overwhelmed because I'm no better than my sin. But if you're a child of God, you're not, your identity is not your sin. Your identity is Christ Himself. And another reason it's so hard to get rid of the junk is our problems, our sin, they serve a purpose. They serve a purpose. When I choose to do a sin, I get something from that. And whether it's right or wrong, I'm receiving something I know, and it might be something that hurts me, but it's something I want. It's something I want. And when you've been having something for a while, what does it become? A habit. It starts becoming something we need to do. And that junk can get in there, and it's hard to get rid of the junk in our lives. But guys, The scripture that we're on for the Beatitude is Matthew 5:6. And it's, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Think about that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who hunger. Have you ever been really hungry? I'll never forget, when I was a pastor at another church, so there were four other pastors at the church. It was a bigger, big church, and one of the things I loved to do was get the pastors to fast so that we could be focused on something and pray through it. And there was one where we did 3 days. And at the end of the three-day fast, we all got all the pastors together to go out to lunch. And you had three pastors who hadn't eaten in 3 days. And we went out for teriyaki chicken. And it was like, whoa! And we just attacked the food. And as we attacked the food, about 10 to 20 seconds later, our bodies said, oh, no. Oh, because it was like, whoa, so much, so quick. And all of a sudden, we all started slowing down. But have you ever had that thing where you were hungering and desiring food, and then you went in? Where you were so hungry, or maybe you'd been working hard or playing sports, and you just were so thirsty and you needed something. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
For righteousness. Who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For right standing with God, for the things that honor God, for the things that glorify God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Now, guys, I have here, can I get a volunteer? I need, thanks, man. All right.
You're not going to hurt me, are you?
Just a little. All right. Now, what we have here is, have you ever been thirsty for water?
Yeah.
Okay, so how would you like to have a nice glass of water? It's kind of a big glass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, how would you feel about drinking this water if I said that I got this water from the toilet?
Not very good.
Not very. All of a sudden, it changes, doesn't it?
Yes.
It goes from being this nice, it's feel the bottle. It's cool. It looks clear. All of a sudden, what happens when you get the bottle and you hear about where, do you want it?
You lose your taste for it.
You lose your taste for it. Thanks. All right. I'm not going to have him drink it. Okay. First of all, there's no way he would do it. Right? Yeah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Guys, think about what this is saying. If we hunger and thirst for the things of God, it's that cool ice glass of water that is refreshing, that's coming from a living spring. But if we're settling for the things of this world, and if the things that we hunger and thirst for are from this world, then the things that we desire are tainted. Because sin has come in. So let me ask you guys, what are you hungering and thirsting for? Is it eternal things? Is it blessings? Is it goodness? I want to read for a quote from, I was meeting with Jim, and he read this quote to me, and I just loved it. And I wanted to read it to you from Blaise Pascal. And it says, what else does this, do we have, yeah, we do. What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. There is something inside of us that is in need, that is craving, and it's this abyss that is desiring to be filled. And it can only be filled by God himself. This is how we were created by God. And guys, we've got a world out there, and at times we ourselves are trying to take the toilet water, trying to take the junk, trying to take even the temporary things and make them the most important. Let me ask you, how about not just junk, how about good things of this world? Julie and I have been with one car for a while. It's been a few weeks. We haven't been able to do a lot of the regular activities that we normally do because we've got one car to take kids around. And so we haven't been able to do some of the stuff that we normally do. Is getting a second car, is that a bad thing?
No.
No. Is having a clean, nice place to live a bad thing?
No.
No. What happens? The reason we only have one car is because a little while ago we bought a second car. And we got a good deal on it. It was a really good deal. And it had less than 60,000 miles. And it was really great for less than 4 months. And then it completely broke. And it was going to cost as much as the car was worth to find out all of the things that were wrong with it. Just to find out. You see, there's good things of this world that the things of this world, do they last for eternity? No. What does last for eternity? The people in our lives. You see, the people in our lives are what's going to last. What are we investing in the relationship that we have with our God, which will last for eternity, and the relationship we have with the people in our lives? Because everything else is temporary. We were created not for this world. This is a tent. We've got a mansion we're going to, guys. We've got a place which will blow us away beyond what we can think of. Don't settle for the toilet water. Don't drink the toilet water. I love how Jeremiah puts it in 2:13. It says, "My people have committed a compound sin. They've walked out on me. The fountain of fresh flowing waters, they've walked out on me, the fountain of fresh flowing waters, and then dug cisterns. Cisterns that leak. Cisterns that are no better than sieves." In other words, they've left the flowing, living water, and they've dug cisterns that are broken. And they're drinking from broken cisterns. What happens in a cistern? A cistern does what? It holds the water, doesn't it? We had a cistern in Uganda. The water would come down and it would hit the roof. And then it would go to the gutter and it would go down to our cistern. And we would collect it there. And something happened as the water would collect in our cistern in those 6 years we spent in Uganda. The snakes said, "Oh, that's a wet, cool place. We're going to live there." You'd open the top of our cistern, you look in and you'd see snakes, some of them alive, some of them dead. Rats, some of them alive, some of them dead. The water did not look good. Do you think we drank from the cistern? If we did, we would have done it once. You can't. You can't. It was constantly full of junk. Sometimes when I'm washing the dishes or I was putting some water in a basin or washing myself, that I would think about how that water came out, because from the cistern we would pump it up and it would go to this can in the roof and then gravity would let it flow down. And I would be thinking, what's in the cistern today? What's in the cistern today? And they dug cisterns that leak. See, a broken cistern not only leaks out the stuff so one day you have no water there, all you have is the sludge at the bottom that's junk. But it lets more of the junk in from the outside. And it corrupts the water that is in there. And saying that my people have left the living God, the flowing water, And instead, they've chosen for themselves these broken cisterns that are no better than toilets. Man, I want to encourage us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be
filled.
To be filled. Another thing that struck me when we were in Uganda was seeing children. We would go out sometimes to places and outside of New Hope where we were serving. And when you see children who are truly hungry, eating and being filled, it's exciting because there's this panic almost that is being satisfied. I'll never forget when we first adopted Isaac, he would open his mouth so wide to eat, and he would be frantic as he was eating because there hadn't been enough. And as time went on, he had that peace that it's okay, Mom and Dad are here. They love me, they're here. I don't need to freak out when it's eating time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, what? For righteousness. For righteousness. I love the picture that we have of this metaphor, I should say, of the cistern, of the toilet, the broken cistern. What is it that when you have a leaky cistern, not only will it make you sick or make you thirsty, but how do you deal with the idea that, you know what, I've got to change some things in my life. I don't want the broken cistern anymore. I want to go to the living well. I want to partake from what is real and what will fill me. How do you go from trusting things that are broken to really trusting God and taking from Him and bringing in His goodness, His love, His truth? And I want to say this, guys, willpower won't work. Saying, you know what, I'm going to decide to do what I need to do. I need to do what's right. And therefore, I'm going to choose in my strength to not do those things that I shouldn't do and to do what I should. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you always do evil. Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. The first verse is saying, we are sinful. Who here in this room is without sin? It's real quiet, as it should be. You see, we have sin in our lives. We have things that we have chosen. We know what truth is. We know what's right, and we've chosen what is wrong. And willpower saying, I'm going to try harder. For those of you who are from a little bit older generation, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yeah. You know? One of my dad's favorite sayings, rub some dirt in it. You know, just try hard. Just work a little bit more. Because that's the language that we know. With sports, when you're struggling, what do? You go back to the basics. You work harder. You focus on what you need to do. You make the effort. You put in the time. When you run a business, what do? You put in the effort, you focus, you figure out what works, and you try harder, and you work smarter. But the economy of God is different than man's economy. And the economy of God says, you know what? There's nothing that we can do that makes ourselves right with God. Nothing. There's no amount of effort that God will say, you know what? You tried so hard there. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you were far off and you put yourself up by your bootstraps and you rubbed some dirt in it and you tried harder. You just said, do it. Just do it. Just like Nike. Well done, my good and faithful servant. No. When we make the effort of our own human strength, we fall short. There is sin. God cannot have sin, guys. Sin and God do not go together. There is no way the two can be together. So God provided a way for us to be with him, but sin to be dealt with. God provided a way. Jesus, God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. What we're getting ready to celebrate. God loves us so much that he became Emmanuel, God with us, in flesh and blood, fully God, fully man. Lived a sinless life, died for our sin. And sin, the wages of sin is death, and death was for all of us, and he dealt with that death so that we could have eternity, not separated from God, out of God's presence, but in God's presence. And I want to encourage you, if you are here this morning and you do not know, you might even be religious, but you don't know Jesus personally. He's not your identity. He's not the one who takes your place so that my identity is in Jesus and what he's done, not in myself and what I've done. I choose to follow Jesus. If you haven't made that choice, it's the broken cistern. You know, one thing that you'll see is as people have broken cisterns is they'll try and patch them up. And they'll try and put this stuff on the inside. And you know what happens to that? The patchwork is the first stuff to be eroded. And when you have this, you have to start new. And you have to make something new that is perfect without a crack, without a break. And we have our newness in Christ and Christ alone. Because Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He's prepared a place for us. We've got a lot to look forward to. Romans 10, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. We go to the living water. We go to God himself through the Holy Spirit to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Guys, we're called to be living sacrifices. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Aren't sacrifices dead? Isn't that kind of, by definition, a sacrifice? We see from the Old Testament, the bird was cut and killed. The lamb was slaughtered. But we have a Savior who is a living sacrifice. He was killed and he rose again. And the very fact that he is living is now through faith he will be living in us. And we can experience his goodness. So let me ask you this. Where is it that you're trying to patch the cistern in your life? Where is it you've got the mud and you're in there and you're trying to put the patchwork in and you're trying to drink from this broken cistern and you're trying to drink the toilet water and convince yourself that it's all so wonderful and it's all so great And we build our kingdoms here on this earth, and some of those kingdoms can get pretty big. But they're just broken cisterns. They're just toilet water. Where is it that you're settling for drinking the junk? Because my brother here, as soon as he found out where this came from, no. The interest was gone. Where is it that you're saying, oh, I can't wait? I saw a It's disgusting, isn't it? It's disgusting. Let's not settle for what is disgusting. Let's not choose the junk. Because, guys, it is a choice. Instead, let's do this. Let's choose living water. John 7:37 says this. Jesus said it. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the heart of those who believe in me. Real water. Cold water. Somebody left this water up. This is the kind of water. Clean water. This Christmas, I want to encourage us more and more. What is it specifically that we need to change? What is it that we need to hand over? I've been thinking about that this week for me, and I've come up with, unfortunately, a number of things. And what God said to me was, you know what, Matthew? If you try and do all of those at the same time, you're going to be overwhelmed. And you'll last about a day or a couple hours, and then you'll be discouraged. And then you'll be right back where you started. How about start with one thing? How about deal with one thing before me and hand that to me? Give that to me. Let my truth come in and change how you live that out. And I got to tell you, every time I do this, it's difficult. Every time we choose to say, this area of my life, this area that I'm struggling with, how I treat this person, maybe it's one person. Maybe there's one person in your family, or maybe there's one person at work that when you think of that person, all your blood pressure, as soon as I said one person, your blood pressure went up. Because their face is in your head right now. Allow the streams of living water, Christ Himself, to purify, to come in, and to take that hunger and thirst and have it be filled because you're desiring righteousness rather than desiring justice. Maybe that person, you desire justice for that person. You know what? When I heard that this 20-year-old guy, after he killed these children and these teachers, and then I heard that he took his own life, you know what I thought? First thing I thought? I wish he hadn't taken his own life. I wish at least he didn't get to have that kind of control or that thought process. I wanted justice. I wanted him taken out by the police so that if he was going to be taken out, at least it was not by his own hand. And then my thought process was, no, that it was too good for him to die. I wish he could live and face and look at every single parent of the child that he took. And that he would see their eyes and it would be burned into his soul. You see, there's something inside of us that desires justice. My prayer is that rather than desiring justice, we would desire righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who desire righteousness, who desire right standing with God, who desire to be right with God themselves. Man, we need to change, don't we? I know I do. I know I do. For they will be filled. Guys, the only way we will find wholeness, the only way we will find joy and peace. You're looking for peace this holiday season? You're looking for joy? Joy to the world. We hear about the Prince of Peace. You're looking for those things. They're found in Christ Himself alone. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. My righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Not self-righteousness, which is brokenness. And junk and broken cisterns. Guys, we need to get a new perspective. And we need to start seeing this world for what it is. We were not created for this world. Just like we've been reminded this week, this world is broken. And whether it's to an extreme or to minor, it's broken. And we will continue to be broken if we make this world our God. If we try and make this world our purpose. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, Jesus said, and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the heart of those who believe in me. And I love that because this says takes it one step further, doesn't it? Did you see what it said at the end there? It's not that it just flows from Christ, but it says that scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the heart of those who believe in Christ. That means we could get to continue the flow. We get to take the righteousness of Christ, experience the goodness, and not become the broken cistern ourselves, and continue out the living water. And it will flow from our hearts, and we'll see the people around us differently. We'll experience life differently. And where we struggle with that is where sin is reigning. And I got to tell you guys, there's too many areas in my life where I'm judgmental, whether I voice it or not. There's too many areas of my life where I come to that place where I'm trusting me rather than God. There's too many times where I have to go on my knees before God and say, Father, forgive me. I trusted myself again and I blew it again. We need to keep growing one step at a time. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. We are free indeed. Let's no longer choose the yoke of slavery to sin. Let's not choose to be bound anymore. We've been set free in Christ. What would come over us that we would say, I choose to be back in chains? One of the things I want to end on is, as the people of God were coming out of slavery, out of Egypt, and they were following Moses. And it was excitement on the first few days, and everybody, we're free! We are no longer slaves. A few months later, those same people were saying, if only we could go back to slavery. We wouldn't have to eat this little stuff that God's providing. They started building in their heads false pictures of how great slavery was. Guess what? Slavery is not great. But they were saying, oh my, they were going back to the broken cisterns. They were choosing toilet water once again. Guys, nothing's changed. We can be so easily turned into the toilet water. But when we choose the living water, not only are we refreshed and filled. What is that? What's the ending on filled? It's what? Past tense. It's what? Filled. Completed. It is finished. Filled with Christ. Filled. Satisfied. Complete. Whole. When we hunger and thirst for the things, for God Himself and His things and what glorifies Him. And then we allow that to flow through us and bless others. Man, that's exciting stuff, guys. It's exciting stuff. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hunger for the right things. Father, forgive us for trying to become content with toilet water and rotten foods. Father, forgive us for not seeing clearly truth, your truth, not our truth. Father, we desire righteousness. We desire holiness. And we know, Lord, the only way we can experience that is through your Holy Spirit working through us because of what your Son Christ did on the cross for us, the very thing that we could not do for ourselves. The perfect sacrifice that is a living sacrifice, that is now our living water. Lord, move us this season. Lord, I pray that there are many of us that right now know what we need to let go of, that not only know it, but would choose to let go of that junk. And then not stay with an empty hand that's going to be filled with more junk, but to choose to grab on to you, the living truth, to drink from you the living water, and to be filled with your righteousness. Lord, thank you that you are good. Lord, thank you that you are holy. In a messed up world that has been messed up by sin, by man's choice to go away from God's truth, from man's choice to say, I don't want to trust God for what's right and what's wrong. I choose to trust myself and said, Lord, we made that choice a long time ago through Adam. And we've been making it ever since. But Father, in Christ, we can be filled with your righteousness. Move in us today. May we choose to give up, to let go of one thing, to allow you to be our living sacrifice in that, Lord, to move through us, that you can flow through us through your Holy Spirit and change us, transform us by the renewing of our minds from lies to truth, from evil to Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you know us and you receive us and you meet me where I need to be met, where you meet us where we need to be met. Thank you, Father. Bless us to make us a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.